I can't think of anybody, not one person can I think of, that is rebelling against God and somehow is simultaneously in that moment spiritually well. Not one. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. It's insane to somehow try to convince ourselves that you can be a true Christ follower and live, right here as I look at this passage, and live in perpetual, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, shake your fist at God, disobedience. It's absolutely absurd is what it is. It's absurd.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Father, we come to you with just a dire desperation. You are good. Your grace is amazing. And Jesus, you really are a friend. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to you, God, in prayer of dependence, urgency, and fervency. And so, Father, I pray as we open this glorious passage from Romans. God, I pray that our hearts would be stirred. I pray we'd see the urgency of this passage, the seriousness of this passage. I pray that we would see what's at stake in our culture, in our personal lives, in our homes, in our churches, Lord. I just pray we would be renewed with a passion to live for you all the days of our lives. And so, Father, may you receive all the glory. Give me the words to say. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you and only you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, we are looking at verses 24 through 32. Take your Bible, get those notes ready, and we're looking at the title of God's Wrath Revealed, and this is the part 2. And there is so much to cover, so we're just going to dive right into this right now. So here it is, it's Romans chapter 1. 24 through 32, reading from the ESV translation, and I pray that you'd follow along with hearts that are hungry to receive the implanted Word of God gladly. And here's what the Bible says. I didn't write this. This is what God's holy Word says. And by the way, how many of us believe that this is God's holy Word? You believe that by a show of hands? I know I do. And so let's just read it for what it says. And here's the word, Romans 1, 24 and following. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And all God's people said, amen. 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Now look at 28 through 32 that will conclude this passage. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Wow. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just dive right in and let's tear this thing apart. Look at Romans chapter 1, 24 through 25. I've broken this down into three sections. You'll see there on the back of your worship guide, three keys supporting verses. But let's just dive right in and let's see what the word of God says. Romans 1, the first section, 24 through 25. It says, therefore God gave who? Them. This is key. God gave them up. So this is very, very pivotal. You're thinking, no, what does this mean that God gave them up? Like, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? Well, when you look at your Bible in front of you or your notes, this is a sorrowful regret that God is having. This is judgment upon what is not holy. This is sinful wickedness that is being flaunted, and God is saying, I'm giving you up. God gives these people up to their wickedness because his holy wrath is against their sin. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I think of where we are in the United States today. Like, I read this with tears. I read this with sorrow in my heart. How could people become so enslaved to the things that are not of the Lord? And here he's giving them up. He literally, in the original language, it's twofold. There's judgment, but there's sorrowful regret. Picture the great God of the Bible having sorrow, and that he has to punish what is not of him, which is not holy. He abandons them. He hands them over. He casts off all restraint. It's like all the cords have been ripped and there's no longer restraint. He's like, I'm giving you up. Like, you're going to push against me. You're going to shake your fist at me. I'm just going to give you up. It's frightening to even think about this. It literally, in the Greek, it's a judicial term. Picture this. It's where the prisoner is marched out and handed over. That's the visual right here. The context is a spiritual prisoner, enslaved to wickedness, to sinfulness. And God at some point goes, look, if you're just going to continue to shake your fist and rebel at me, I'm going to march you out. I'm going to march you out as a spiritual prisoner, and I'm just going to hand you over. What a visual that is in that simple text. He hands them over, it says, verse 24. He gives them up in the lusts, the unbridled desires, their forbidden pleasures and passions, this darkness of their hearts to impurity. That word impurity is this, it's rotten. It's decaying matter. Something that's rotten. Ever put like a half turkey in the garbage can out in the hot sun? Woo! Well, you're praying for the rapture, aren't you? That's like, that's just nasty, isn't it? Why? Because it's rotten. It's impure. That's the visual here. In the lust of their hearts, the decaying matter in the grave, to the dishonoring of their bodies among who? This is key. Among who? Themselves. It's like, hey, why should one person sin when we all can, right? That's their thought process. It's so deluded. And why does this happen? Verse 25, here's the why. Because they exchanged, they traded, they substituted. They go, let me weigh this out. God in his glory, his truth, what I can live in that will I'll be free and no longer enslaved. cravings of my sinful flesh. Which one is it? And these people decided, we want us. And they literally exchanged. They go, here, God. Here, we don't want you, so we're giving you back. And God's like, I'm giving you up. I'm going to march right out. I'm going to hand you over to the wickedness that you crave. And what happens? Well, they exchanged what? And this is always the key. The what? They exchanged, verse 25, the truth. See, the truth is always on trial. You either love the truth or you hate it. Like there's no in between, because you know that who owns the fence? Satan. If you play the fence, you're in the lie. If you play the fence, you're in darkness. If you play the fence, you're in hopelessness. They exchange. They go, we don't want the truth. We hate the truth. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. So they rebel against it. And they embrace what is false. They deny who God is. They deny his power, his existence. And then what was the response? Once you exchange the truth of God for the lie, now the worship war is on, isn't it? The worship war? We all worship something. Now the worship war is on. Now, who are we going to worship? Well, what's it say in the Bible in front of you? Verse 25, Romans 1, and they worshiped, they had reverence, they bowed before, and they served. Now, this is key, because what happens, it's a connector. So they not only worship, but now they serve. So when you serve something, you are mastered by it. You are under its power. See, when you begin to worship something, the natural outflow is you'll begin to serve it. So when you bow down to something, at some point you're going to be mastered by it. Does it make sense? Whatever it is you're going to worship, perfectly it's God, and you're going to be mastered by him. But there's many in our culture today that are living right now on this moment, perhaps even inside a church, that they're really not worshiping God. They're worshiping themselves. They're worshiping their little idols that they've created and fashioned. And the reality is that you cannot just worship something and not serve it. What you worship is what you will serve. In other words, what you worship is what you will be mastered by. Just how this works. And that's exactly what's going on here. And they worship the creature, what has been created, rather than the creator who is blessed forever. And he concludes with a four-letter word, which is a good four-letter word. And what does it say there? Who is blessed forever? Amen. So here's the key. At some point, you got to go, why does God march these people out and go, I'm handing you over. This is what you want? He's like, you made your bed. Guess who gets to sleep in it? God's like, not me, you. Why? Look in your Bible at Romans 1, 18 through 23, and I'll tell you why. Look at Romans 1, 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. This is what we talked about last time together. Again, so he's going to war against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their, no one else's, their, they suppress something. What is it? The truth. Isn't this ironic how it all goes back to suppressing and exchanging the same thing? It's the truth. You either love the truth, you either love it and you're being changed by it and fashioned to it because it's God's word. It's who God is. It's who Jesus is. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Or you sit in a church and you hate it. There's people everywhere that hate it. Well, 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them. Why? Because we know it, it's general revelation. You say, wait a minute, general revelation, where do you get that from? Look at verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since what? the creation of the world in the things that have been made. The sun, the moon, the stars. You go out on a beautiful day like today, and how can you not shout, "This is the day that the Lord has made"? He's everywhere when you walk outside, so no one has an excuse. How do we know that? We'll read on. And the things that have been made, so they are without what? Excuse. For although they knew God intellectually, they did not honor. They said, "I know about you, but I'm not going to submit to you. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do, God. I'll show you." And they don't submit. They don't honor. They don't give thanks, but they became futile, useless, worthless in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. They really are fools. The joke's on them. And they did what? Here's some more exchanging, substituting, saying, "Hey, we don't want this. We don't want this." And that's the power of what happens when you're under not God and His Word, but you're under the sway of darkness. I want you to write down key number one on the back of your bulletin. Key number one, here's what it says. As we see here in Romans 1, 24 through 25, God gave the people up to the lusts of their hearts because they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Write that down. This is so important. Right from God's word. Key number one. As we see here in Romans 1, 24 through 25, God gave the people up to the lusts of their hearts because they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. We talked about this before, but all sin is rooted in self. All sin is rooted in self 100% of the time. Sin always overpromises and it always underdelivers because it's a lie. The Bible again says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love their deeds. They want themselves. They want their sin. They promote and profess we love Christ, but they really hate Him. And at its root, at its core, sin is focused on self, and self-focus hates the truth because truth is focused on Christ, not self. Our culture cheerleads this. This Romans 1 that we're in today, Romans 1, 24 through 32, our culture is cheerleading this. Our culture says, "This God thing, you don't need this. It's all about you. It's what you want and what you desire." God's word says no. God's word tells me as I read the Bible, as I open it, doesn't say it's about me. It says it's about God. It doesn't say that I should get what I want. It says, "John, you need to crucify yourself and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." It's not what God has planned for those that love Him. And by the way, I've never met one person who right now, as I think on this, I've never met one person who is simultaneously rebelling against God and is simultaneously spiritually well. I can't think of anybody, not one person can I think of, that is rebelling against God and somehow is simultaneously in that moment spiritually well. Not one. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. It's insane to somehow try to convince ourselves that you can be a true Christ follower and live, right here as I look at this passage, and live in perpetual, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, shake-your-fist-at-God disobedience. It's absolutely absurd is what it is. It's absurd. And yet there's even churches today that would go, "We beg to differ." It's just insane. People who drink this spiritual Kool-Aid, they're being fed. I mean, they're playing spiritual Russian roulette with their lives. They're playing spiritual Russian roulette as they drink this Kool-Aid. And there's going to be a heavy price to pay. And I was thinking about this earlier this week as I was reading this. I thought to myself, if we consume more of the world, here's what happens. Our minds begin to become numb. Our minds become deadened. You know, it's interesting when you think about back issues. And some of us had back issues, herniated discs, etc. It's interesting that they have this phrase, and it goes like this: ice is nice. But you know what really feels better? Something really, really hot on your back. Do you know why? It deadens the nerves. You don't feel the pain. That's exactly what the world is promoting to the church today. This truth stuff, you don't need it. You're confined by it. You're constrained. It's not giving you what you really want. And so put something on it that will just deaden it. And when you put the heat onto the back, yes, it deadens the pain, but do you also know this, that all of the blood now is drawn to that area, which is going to make the injury worse? It's exactly what people are doing spiritually today. Let me just deaden this. Feels good for a moment, but the pit they're standing in gets deeper and deeper as they themselves are holding the shovel. Oh, church, we must be a people. As key number one reminds us, God gave the people up. He marched them out as the prisoner spiritually and hands them over to the lusts, the unbridled desires of their hearts. Why? Because they said, we're going to substitute, we're going to trade in God's truth for the lie. Who in their right, ever-loving mind would trade in truth for a lie? Well, the answer is simple. It's people that are walking in darkness. Satan has opened a door. Be careful. When your spiritual mind is deadened and numb, you now have allowed Satan to open a door in your life to covertly, without any detection, grab you by the throat and begin to dominate you. That's why these verses, I pray, will remind us of God and who He is. Think about Judges, Old Testament, Judges 10, 13, under that key number one. Write that down, Judges 10, 13. It says, yet you have forsaken me, God says, and you served other gods. Remember we talked about this? What you worship is what you're going to serve and be mastered by. Therefore, I will save you no more, period, end quote. That's what God said. Wow. It's frightening, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely frightening. There's going to come a point in people's lives. Again, you can sit in church all of your life. You can go to a church every day of the week. And the reality is, if you shake your fist at God, if you rebel against Him, there's going to come a time from God's word that He just goes, this is enough. I'm just going to turn you over to the dictates of your heart. I mean, how again does someone take truth and trade it in for lies? We'll write down John chapter 8. Write this down. This is the epicenter. John 8, 42 through 47. John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, He's speaking there to the religious people. They were religious. But they hated God. They hated truth. If you were of your Father, if God was your Father, you would love me, Jesus says, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? He's pleading with these religious people that have all the head knowledge. Why do you not understand what I say? Here's what He says. This is Jesus right here. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Woo. And your will is to do your father, Satan's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the, take a wild guess what he does not stand in. Just take a wild guess. The what? Somebody say it. The truth. I'm telling you, this is not overly complicated. It's a war against the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. But because I, Jesus, tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? Ooh, that was a good one right there. That was a zinger, wasn't it? Jesus goes, which one of you convicts me of sin? A hush fell across the crowd. I tell you the, take a wild guess, truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God, here it is. This is so key. This is a definer. It's verse 47. Write this down, John 8, 47. This is the definer right here. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Wow. That's it. I'm telling you. If you want to know if someone's of God right here, they're going to go, oh, as I hold up this Bible, it's my life. I crave this. That's one indicator that you will know they're of God. If they shake their fist and go, I don't want it. Be warned, be warned. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them, I mean, Jesus is not playing nice here in this sandbox. The reason why you do not hear them, Pharisees, Sadducees, religious people, is that you are not of God. Wow. Telling you, this religious thing has to be exchanged for a relationship with Christ. And when you're in this, you're going to realize that this is a fight, not a fashion show. This is a battleground, not a playground. This is serious stuff. The stakes are high. Satan wants to destroy you and your marriage and your kids and your grandkids and all that you deal in. He wants to destroy you. Stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, write it down. It says it like this, 17 through 18. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk, live as the Gentiles do in the futility and the uselessness of their mind, in the useless worthlessness of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. Why? Due to their hardness of heart. Ephesians 4, 17 through 18. So church, that was key number one, chunk number one. Let's look at key and chunk number two, Romans 1, 26 through 27. So remember, sin, remember this, sin is not handing us over. You got to get this in our heads, don't we? We got to get this in our heads. Sin is not handing us over. Who's handing us over if we're not walking in the truth? Who is? It's three letters, starts with a G. Yeah. So don't look at the sin. Sin's just the manifestation of the wicked heart. Sin's not going to hand you over. God is. God's going to hand that person over and God give you up. And so what happens? Well, look at 26 through 27. It goes deeper. This is chunk number two. 26 of Romans 1, for this reason. So go back to 24, 25. That's the reason. God, guess what he's going to do? Yep, you guessed it. He gave them up. He gave them. Notice all the thems and the theys in this passage. Just notice, there's a bunch of them. God gave them up. He abandons them. He turns them over. He marches them out to what? To dishonorable passions. It's referring to moral filth, uncontrollable appetites. It's a total free-for-all in this society. Now, this is very interesting. This next phrase is so intriguing. It says this, for their women exchanged. Let me explain this. There's a reason why women are listed here first. In most cultures where there's moral filth going on, usually who is the one that's committing those acts? It's usually the, let's just say it, the man, right? I mean, all the advertisements are not targeting women in our culture. Who are they targeting? Men. There's a reason. It's strategic. It's not happenstance. It's real. So why would Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put women first? Do you know why he did this? I know why he did this. He is showing how off the rails this culture is. He's actually flipping it up, going, it's so bad that we're actually going to start with who usually doesn't give into this first, the women. It just shows how bad this is. Did you know that in the Roman culture, 14 out of the first 15 emperors were homosexual? What happened to Rome? What's happened to every civilization that has embraced this? It's gone. Like, we're talking gone. You don't play around with this stuff. You play around with this stuff, I'm telling you, you're going to get utterly destroyed. And you're going to take a bunch of people with you who are drinking the same Kool-Aid.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
The women here, but it's really just giving evidence of how bad and depraved and wicked this culture is. For their women exchange, they traded in, they substituted what? Natural relations. That's male and female. Let me be very clear. At this fellowship, we believe that God created them male and female, period. Like, period. There's no questions. There's no question marks. He designed it for men and women in a marital union to be joined together. That's what the Bible teaches, and I stand on the Word of God. But what do? They go, man, we really don't want this. We hate truth. We hate it. We despise it. Our appetites are just out of control. So what happens? Well, you look here in the Bible, in Men 27, likewise. So the men are like, hey, let's join in on the party. I mean, hey, if the women are going down with the ship, we might as well all go down together. And they gave up. Isn't that interesting? So the men give up. This is very intriguing because somebody else has been doing a lot of giving up until now. Who's been giving up until now? Three-letter word starts with a G? God. Now we're saying, well, see, wait a minute. Now we see why God is giving them up, because the men and women had said, we're giving you up, God. See how this works? God is so long-suffering. He's so forgiving. Any and all sin, any and all sin can be forgiven. There's only one unpardonable sin in Scripture. There's only one. And the only unpardonable sin is the sin where you die and you've never repented. Because you can't repent at that point. You're dead. That's what that means. People get so confused hermeneutically on Scripture. The one unpardonable sin, think about it, it's just logical. How can you repent when you're dead? You can't. But every sin, the sin of sulkiness this past week, can be forgiven, just like the sin of moral filth can be forgiven, amen? And everything in between. But the heart has to go, we're not going to exchange the truth and substitute it for the lie. We want the truth, Jesus. Give us the truth, because you're the truth, Jesus. That's the power of the gospel to change lives forever. And so the men, likewise, they give up the natural relations with women and they're consumed. It's an emotion that permeates everything. It's like water intrusion. Once water gets in, it goes everywhere, doesn't it? Everywhere. And they have passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts. These are acts that should be shameful. You should be like, oh, this is just, I can't do this. This is horrible. Their minds are so deluded. There's so much searing of their consciences, they don't even care. They're committing shameless acts. The conscience is seared, it's severed, it's cauterized. There's no shame in men. And what happens? Well, you make your bed. Guess what you get to sleep in? Your bed. And men receiving in themselves, you notice this, not others, but themselves, the due penalty. When people willfully disobey, when people willfully disobey God, they shake their fist at God. The bill, the invoice for that rebellion, it's coming due. Rent's coming due. Oh yeah, the sin rent is coming due. And it's coming due right here, the due penalty for their error. It's not an oops, right? Well, 2 plus 2, I wrote down 3. Oops, no, this is not that kind of error. No, this right here is willful, shake your fist at God rebellion and wickedness. Don't be deceived, church. The Bible is clear that whether it's this particular sin here of homosexuality, whether male or female, here's at the core, it's rejecting God's creation. That's what it is. It's shaking a fist at God going, you made them male and female. I don't like that. So male and female in marital union, they have this oneness, yes. We don't like that. It doesn't satisfy us. We're going to shake our fist at you, God. Don't be deceived, church. Can it be forgiven? Of course it can. Praise God. Praise God for the testimonies that come out of this when people get out of this sin. It can be repented of, but don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I want you to do a test right now. Just do a test, church. So who do you know right now in your sphere of influence that is living in intentional, unrepentant sin and is thriving spiritually? Just walk through that for a moment in your mind. These people don't exist. It's impossible to be spiritually well while you go to war against God. It won't happen. You can make excuses. You can rationalize it. Entire denominations right now have bought into these lies. Entire denominations. You see the Methodists. You see the Presbyterians. Yeah, we're really not sure. We're really not sure what God was saying here. We don't like it. We don't really want to say that, though. And we think we're going to make an excuse about, hey, it was back in that day or whatever's going on. And I just simply go, what Bible are these people reading? It's not the Bible that God created. But entire denominations are driving off spiritual cliffs. They're taking droves of people with them. You know why, don't you? Because what is always at the essence of sin? It's another S word, and it's 4 letters, self. As they exchange the truth of God for the lie. I want you to write down key number 2. Write this down in your notes. It says this, key number 2. Key number 2, as we see here in Romans 1, 26 through 27, God gave the people up a second time. As they exchanged, they traded in, they substituted the natural for what is debased and twisted. So what is debased and twisted? We're going to talk about that in our final section. Anytime we exchange anything of God for something else, this is idolatry. Anytime we exchange, substitute anything of God for something else, this is idolatry. And the reality is this, church, I and you, we are all beyond self-repair. You can't be good enough. You can't just rearrange your life morally and somehow we're good with Jesus. We're all beyond self-repair. That's why we need to understand that excusable, rationalized, respectable, justified idolatry is something not of the Lord. There are churches again today all over the country that you can lie, you can gossip, you can slander. No one bats an eye. Everyone laughs. Everyone giggles. Everyone chuckles. Everyone slaps backs, buries their heads in the sand. And yet these really aren't churches. These are synagogues of Satan. And that's why I made this note before I give you these verses. And I want you to think on this thought. This really stirred my heart. Here it is. Open, unrepentant rebellion against God will lead to open, unmerciful judgment from God. Let that sink in for a moment. This is from Scripture. Open, unrepentant rebellion against God will lead to open, unmerciful judgment from God. You go, where do you get that from? Well, we just read passages from Romans 1, verses from Romans 1, where people are shaking their fists, they're open in their unrepentance, they're open in their rebelliousness, and God goes, I'm just going to march out. I'm going to turn you over. That's why Galatians chapter 6, what a warning this is. Galatians 6, if you are an individual, if you are married, if you are in a church, you need Galatians 6, 7 through 8. And we should have this plastered somewhere where we see it every day. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. It says this, do not be deceived. Do not be tricked. Do not be hoodwinked. Do not be baited. Do not be seduced. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, for whatever one does, that he also will reap. It's the law of sowing. If you're going to live in holiness, you're going to reap holiness. If you're going to live in wickedness, you're going to reap wickedness. There's no way around this. Verse 8 of Galatians 6, for the one who sows, the one who lives to his own flesh, which is the word self, will from the self, the flesh, reap. The paycheck will be corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, capital S, which is the Holy Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, it's the fruit of the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not what? You will not satisfy. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's impossible to be walking in the Spirit and simultaneously be fulfilling the flesh. You can't do it. It's impossible. And yet people are trying. Because, but the one who sows of the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Amen. Isn't that glorious? Aren't you glad that you walk in the Spirit and I'm going to have eternal life with Christ? That's what the true Christ follower, it's another indicator, by the way. You could say this, bearing fruit worthy of repentance, walking in the Spirit. Isaiah 5, 20 through 21. Here's a warning, Isaiah 5, 20 through 21. Whoa, like in other words, time out. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woo, that's American 24, isn't it? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Verse 21, woe, be on your guard. Woe to you. Warning, warning, warning to those who are wise in their own eyes. Who are shrewd in their own sight. Me, me, me. That's why Genesis, lastly, in the second section, warns us. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of the man's heart, humankind's heart, was only evil continually, perpetually. And the Lord regretted, he was sorrowful that he had made man. Wow. He's like, I'm so sorry I even made man. They're so wicked. And it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Don't you want to be a Noah? That even if the whole world goes off into deception, you want to be a Noah? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. The Lord owns me. He has a title deed to my life. I'm not going to give in to the flesh. It's a cul-de-sac going nowhere. It's a hamster wheel going nowhere. It's going to dig the pit deeper. It'll satisfy for a moment, but it always leads to more heartache and pain. You say, how do you know? Well, lastly, let's look at Romans 1, 28 through 32, our final chunk. And this is powerful. This is God's word. Verse 28 of Romans 1, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. So, in other words, you know what? We're going to weigh this thing out again. And the conclusion is we really just don't see any value in acknowledging God. We want to acknowledge ourselves and no longer his truth. God does what? Take a wild guess. Number three, he gives them up. He marches them out. Spiritual prisoner being handed over for their sentencing. Through his wrath, he abandons them. And here's the key, to a debased mind. Now, this is so key. Don't miss this. A mind that is spiritually weak, a mind that is spiritually dark, a mind that is spiritually worthless, it's degenerate, it's useless, it's reprehensible, it's depraved, it's animalistic. Literally, the Greek, here's what it explains it in, it's as they're taking metals, M-E-T-A-L-S, and the ones that are worthless, they take and just discard. That literally is in the original language explaining that debased mind. God gives them up to a debased mind to do, to carry out what ought not to be done. They were filled. Now, this is very interesting. Before I read this list, where did this list come from? We have not been talking about anything in this genre up until now. Where does this come from? I'll tell you what. When you open the door to the mind being twisted and perverted, you now have opened your mind up to carry out the following list. Are you ready for this list? There are people today that profess Christ who live in this list. I'm not talking about, oops, we goofed and had a sulky day on Tuesday. I'm talking about people that go, hey, we're living in this list, and God, whether you like it or not, you need to be okay with this. You ready for this list? Here's what it says. Put your seatbelt on. To do what not ought to be done, verse 29, Romans 1, they were filled. It means this, utterly consumed to the brim. With what? All manner. There's no limits. No restraints of unrighteousness, unholy things, evil, wickedness, covetousness. I gotta have. I want what he has. I want what she has. I'm gonna get it at any and all costs. Malice, viciousness. Oh, you come against me. Oh, you come against me, you're gonna pay a price. And no one's gonna know, because I'm gonna still tell everyone I love Jesus. They are full to the brim, max capacity, envy, resentment towards someone else because they have what you lust and crave for. They murder, just not physical murder, but murdering in the heart, which is murdering with the tongue. They are filled with strife, contention that's rooted in selfish ambition. They're filled with deceit. They're devious. They're underhanded. They love the shadows and the darkness because that's where they carry out their plots and their schemes. Maliciousness, their evil nature. They are gossips, secret whisperers, twisting the truth. They are slanderers, verse 30, assassinating someone's character. They are haters of God. They hate God because God is truth. They're insolent. They're sadistic people who enjoy inflicting evil. They get a charge out of watching you squirm and suffer. They're disobedient to parents. They simply disobey their parents that are godly, who are trying to lead them in the ways of the Lord, and they disobey. They're foolish, verse 31, void of biblical wisdom. They're faithless, they're unfaithful, they're heartless, they're lacking biblical love because it's all about themselves. They're ruthless. There's no moral compass. All about themselves. 32, though they know about God's righteous decree intellectually. Oh, they know, church, they know. And by the way, they can't plead ignorance. That card's not on the table. Why? Because general revelation. They walk outside. There's God. I see him. I see God in the trees. I see him in the sun and the moon and the stars. They're without excuse. And what happens? They know his decree. They're like, God, I'm going to declare war on you. I hate you and I love myself. I'm your enemy, God, is really what they're saying. Can you imagine how insane this is? They're literally going, God, I'm your enemy. I'm your enemy. Don't tell me what to do. And what happens? And here's where this gets so depraved and so wicked. That they who practice, this is so, can't even believe this as I read it again. That those who practice, those who do, those who commit, those who act out such things deserve to die. Eternal death. They can repent though, amen? They can repent and turn from this, but they refuse to. And here's what they do. They not only do them, this is bad enough, but they give approval. They affirm the sin. They applaud the sin. They give a thumbs up to the sin. They encourage others to sin. They give approval to those who practice, who do these things as well. Well, I read this list and it brings me to tears, and I pray it brings you to tears as well, because this right here is where you're living in 2024. And you can't sit back any longer and pretend somehow this is going to magically work out. You got to fight. It's time to fight. Fight for your own soul. Fight for your children. Fight for your grandchildren. Fight for your marriage. Fight, church. I mean, fight. Fight like you've never fought before. Just fight. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. The spiritual decay in our country, the rottenness, has reached such a low that it's back to this Roman era, in my opinion. And you got leaders, wolves, who are finding undiscerning wolf pups. And they stroke their egos, and they tell the wolf pups what they want to hear. And then unbeknownst to the wolf pups, the chief wolves grab them by the hand as they all jump off the cliff together. Because they not only do the sin, but they give approval, a thumbs up. I'm telling you, from God's word, God will not be mocked. Be careful who you hang around with. Be careful who you're taking spiritual advice from. Be careful. I'm telling you, be careful. People who would willingly stay in poison, I'd be real careful about listening to them. Be really careful. It's missionary dating. You've heard me say this before. One of the worst concepts that's ever been invented. Some young guy who's a believer starts dating a girl who's not a believer, or vice versa. A young girl who's a believer starts dating a guy who's not a believer, and somehow they've convinced themselves because they're in love, they're living out a Hallmark movie in their life, that somehow they're going to change the other person. In 100% of the cases that I've experienced, here's what's happened. The person who professed Christ got changed. And they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That's what they did. And that's exactly when you cohabitate with people who go, yeah, we're just going to sit in the darkness. I'm telling you, be careful. You will get baited and seduced and lured and deceived, and you won't even know what's happening until the kettle is turned on high. And that's too late. And this stuff is going on all over our country today as the prince of this world, Satan, continues to hijack homes and churches and lives. That's why, lastly, key number three, here it is. Key number three, write this down. Key number three, as we see here in Romans 1, 28 through 32, God gives the people up a third time as they, with willfully rebellious behaviors, dive headfirst into sin. Hey, let's not do a cannonball or a jackknife. Let's dive headfirst into this stuff. And they also cheerlead others. Woohoo! You could do it. Cheerlead others into sin as well. Key number three, as we see here in Romans 1, 28 through 32, God gives the people up a third time as they, with willfully rebellious behaviors, dive headfirst into sin and also cheerlead others into sin as well. I made this note. I find it interesting that the list of sins in Romans 1, 20 through 32 is so comprehensive. Amen? Did you notice that, by the way? That's a comprehensive list. Go back and read it later. And I promise you this. I know that there's some really spiritual people here. I get it. And then those are listening. I get it. But here's the truth of the matter. I believe it's comprehensive for a reason, because nobody escapes that list. You may think you're super Christian. There's nobody that escapes that list. And that's the point. We're all broken beyond self-repair. It's only Christ. It's the glories of Christ today. It's the glories of the cross that can save you, redeem you, buy you, purchase you back, free you from the pit of darkness. It's the glories of the cross in the empty tomb. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. That's why these verses, I pray, will strengthen you in your walk. Jeremiah chapter 6, 27 through 30. Let me give you a few of these, and then we'll close. Jeremiah 6, 27 through 30. This is God's word, just God's word. Jeremiah 6, 27 through 30. I have made you a tester of metals among my people that you may know and test their ways. Boy, Jeremiah had a tough job, that prophet. They are all stubbornly rebellious. Whose people are these, by the way? Do you guys know? Whose people are these? I just read it there. Whose people? God's people, right? They are all stubbornly rebellious. Probably not a good thing if you're God's people. Going about with slanderers. So they hang out with slanderers. Not a good idea. You become who you hang out with. Did you know that? Garbage in, garbage out. You hang out in the garbage, you begin to smell like the garbage. So many people just give a pass. Well, he's nice. Well, she's nice. No. If they're garbage, pray for them. Love them. Not a good idea, right? They are all stubborn and rebellious. They are bronze and iron, and all of them act corruptly. Whose kids are these? Whose people are these again? God's. Wow. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain, the refining goes on, for the wicked are not removed. Rejected silver, they are called. Did you catch this? Rejected silver, they. Whose kids are these again? Rejected silver, they are called, for the Lord has rejected them. Wow. This is serious stuff, isn't it? Serious. If you really want to be walking with the Lord, you got to take this seriously. Matthew 15, 12 through 14. Matthew, New Testament, 12 through 14. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know, Jesus, that the Pharisees were offended?" I had to laugh when I read that. Let me read that again, and if you want to laugh, feel free. Then the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He, Jesus, answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up, will be given over. Let them alone," Jesus says, verse 14 of Matthew 15, "they are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Ooh. Be careful who's guiding you, amen? Pits are deep. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to get out of the pit. And that's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 8 through 9, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses back there in the Old Testament, so these men also oppose thee. Take a wild guess what they're opposing. It starts with a T. The truth. I'm telling you, church, there's nothing new here. There's nothing new. There's truth and lies. Either walking in the truth or you're walking in lies. That's it. They're opposing the truth. Men corrupted in their minds. What you think on is what you act on. What you think on is who you are. And disqualified regarding the faith. Wow, that's rough, isn't it? They're disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You've heard me say this illustration before, but I'll say it one more time. you're hanging out with people that they're hanging out in the poison, and you're just kind of, I don't really know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Just like in the movies, you may not be the one that's in the bank with the gun, with the pantyhose on your head. But you may be sitting out in the 72 Buick Skylark getting ready to take off. And guess who goes to jail? Even the person driving the 72 Buick Skylark. Amen? Like, everybody goes to jail. I'm telling you, hang out with people who are hanging out in the poison. Be careful. When they go to spiritual jail, I've seen it happen more than once. Even the nice person sitting in the Buick Skylark spiritually went to jail as well. God's not going to be mocked. He's not. We don't want to play around with God. That's why 1 Peter lastly says it like this. This is such great encouragement. But it's a warning. 1 Peter 5:8-11. Be sober-minded, be clear-headed, be watchful, be on your guard. It literally means this, be on your guard. You ever play sports? Well, you're on your guard, right? You're on your guard. Be on your guard. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he's not your friend, he's not your buddy, he's not some little guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and funny eyebrows and a goatee. He hates you. He's your adversary. He's the accuser. He's the slanderer. The word devil, we get in the original language, it literally means this, diabolical. The devil is Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, fill in the blank, on steroids to the nth degree. He is diabolical, the devil is. He's not your friend. He has not your best interest in mind. What kind of crazy person, what kind of crazy person cheerleads you into the sin, and the moment that you commit the sin, he steps on your throat and tells you you're a loser? That's what the devil does. Don't make a pact with the devil. Don't do it. Be sober-minded, be watchful. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone not to maim, not to injure, not to send to the walk-in clinic, not to go buy a bunch of Band-Aids for. He is on the prowl seeking someone to devour. Like today, he's trying to devour you. He's trying to devour your marriage and your kids. He's not playing around. You can't play around with him. Resist him, verse 9, 1 Peter 5. Resist him firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Isn't that such great encouragement? I mean, as you're suffering today for Jesus, there are people all around the world today that are suffering for Jesus. You're not alone. You're not alone. And here's the great, great encouragement, lastly, verse 10, 1 Peter 5. And after you have suffered a little while, it means the suffering is going to come to an end. The God of all grace, amen, praise the Lord, amen, that has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. There's no other name but Jesus, amen. He will himself, he's going to restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion, to him be the power, to him be the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus is it. Amen. Jesus is it. And I pray he's it for you. We live in a crazy, sin-filled world. But church, take this encouragement. The sin that you are around daily in your workplace or your family, the light in you, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory as the Word of God dwells in you richly. That glorious light does not shine the brightest where it's the brightest, but where it's the darkest. Therefore, take heart. Don't lose heart. Amen. Since our God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he, Jesus, that's within us, than Satan is in the world. The God of this Bible, he is our rock. He's our fortress. Oh, he loves us. He is so good. His grace is amazing. He's a friend. There is no greater friend than we have in Jesus Christ today. May you take comfort. Amen. May you live every day for the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. In a world that is so off the rails that we just saw from Romans 1, a world that says, hey, if you engage in these things, you're going to be free. No, how's that working out? It's just a lie from the pit of hell. Participating in these things will keep us enslaved in a self-imposed prison. Furthering the tightening of the shackles that are on our wrists. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his love for us, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever truly believes and surrenders their life to him will not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, to him be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for freeing us. It's the greatest gift we've ever received. May we not take it lightly, but may we live every day sharing our glory story. May we live every day showing a hopeless, dark, off-the-rails spiritually world that Jesus lives. He's not just a better option. He's the only option. Oh, God, we praise you. We worship you today. May you be hallowed in this place, but most importantly, may you be hallowed in our lives. And to you be all of the glory for the fame of your great name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.